Donny Bovine is the founder of Success Champions Networking. He says that when it comes to networking, just giving doesn't work. And rather than referrals, he prefers to make introductions. Thank you very much for being my guest on the podcast today, Donny.
Liz, I'm looking forward to this. Always fun hanging out with other people doing cool things.
Now, it says on your LinkedIn profile that you're all about business networking that doesn't suck, which makes you the perfect guest for my podcast, I would say. Before we get going, tell us whereabouts in the world you are.
So Fort Worth, Texas is where our farm is that my wife and I stay on with all of our goats, chickens, ducks, geese, turkeys, all kinds of menagerie out here.
Wow. What kind of size is your farm?
So it's not very big. It's a hobby farm. So it's 4 acres out here. Mm-hmm. But it's our getaway sanctuary, just a place to stay away from it all.
Sounds wonderful.
It is. It really is.
So, as I said, you're all about business networking. But before we start talking about that, I'd love to know a little bit about your background. Where did you start? What was your first job? What was your career path been like?
Yeah, so I did 4 years in the Marine Corps, 25 years now a sales guy. You know, really, I turned 40 before I even knew that you could start your own company. I was just a regular blue-collar kid that was raised in a household that you work, you get a job, you retire. But turned 40, I launched a company, and I was immediately slapped with a non-compete that I don't remember signing. Supposedly, before all of launching my company, I was one of the top sales trainers in the U.S.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, other than I'm really good at flapping my gums in front of a room. And I had full intent on launching a sales training company, and now I found myself at that point, my wife and I had built our dream farm. I'd built a second house on a property for my mother-in-law, and the lifestyle that came with that. And we went from there to making zero income and not being able to talk about the only thing I knew how to do, which was sales.
Yeah. So how far into your business were you when that happened?
That was day one.
Wow.
I launched my company, and 24 hours later, I was served my non-compete papers.
So, wow.
Yeah, so I really tried to build a company, but 6 months in, not knowing how to be a business owner, not knowing what my company was, and my wife's Jeep was repossessed, we almost lost the farm to foreclosure. Graciously, my wife cashed in her retirement plan to get the Jeep back and save the farm.
Yeah.
So it's been a hell of a journey from there.
Yeah, that's quite a start to self-employment, isn't it?
For sure. Well, I like telling the story because I think people always hear the sunshine and rainbows of building businesses, right? There's always this, I was a millionaire in 9 months and all this stuff. And the truth is, building a business is the hardest damn thing I've ever done. And it'll damn sure make you figure out what you're made of.
Yeah.
So I like sharing kind of the dark side of building a business so people know they're not alone.
Yeah. Yeah. So what happened then immediately after you got that non-compete? What did you do?
Freaked out, if I were completely honest.
I bet.
Yeah. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what the business was going to be. And so I decided I was going to go down this kind of route of maybe I'd be a motivational speaker, and then realized quickly that nobody knew who the hell I was. And so, no, I couldn't get on stages. So that wasn't working. So I tried some sort of coaching and then realized I'm not a really good coach. I just don't have patience for people. I leaned on some of my, background growing up, and I started doing a lot of content development and editing. I launched a content company and it made a little bit of money, just not enough money to bring in a lot of income. So it was, and I mean this in the politest way possible, I was pretty much a business whore at this point, meaning I just did anything I could to make a dollar.
Yeah.
And I was all over the place. At one point, I had like 6 companies running.
Oh, gosh.
And none of them were doing all that well. Ultimately, I broke that down to 2 companies where I had a podcast that found some pretty good success. And I took that to a 6-figure business. Then my non-compete came up. and I was able to talk about sales. So then I launched a sales training company. And those were the two companies that I took up until I launched the networking groups. Yeah. But I grew them both to multiple six-figure companies from there.
Yeah, yeah. So you were eventually allowed to talk about sales and marketing again.
Yeah, it took a year. And when that year came up, I had a chip on my shoulder. So I went back and got almost every client they told me I couldn't go after because I was so mad.
Yeah.
And, you know, and built a fun sales training company from there. But it was completely out of spite. Mm. So I probably could have taken that a lot bigger. But the kind of the way I built the thing wasn't the best idea behind building a business. I was doing it just to prove a point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the networking then, let's talk about that. What got you into networking?
Yeah, it's really kind of funny. I actually never wanted to launch networking groups. I've always been kind of the mindset of somebody who teaches networking. It's just somebody that doesn't know how to sell. I mean, it's networking. It's not rocket science. Mm-hmm. And what happened was we were 2.5 years into business. We were getting ready to do our inaugural summit. Forgive the name of the summit, but it is called the Badass Business Summit. So earmuffs if that offends. Sorry, guys. And we were 2 weeks away from the event and COVID breaks out. Yeah, so now we can't do the event. We were going to be fine. All of my businesses were online at that point. I mean, we were doing well enough mm-hmm. that I could rent out a convention center, have speakers flying in from all over the world and stuff. And so we were going to be okay. But I was watching the entire rest of the world move into this online space. And we'd been there for 2.5 years and other people hadn't. So we launched networking groups. And I jokingly say I kind of felt like Liam Neeson. I had a skill set and I knew how to use it. I'd run several networking groups in a past life. And so I launched them not because we needed them, but to help people stay mm-hmm. in business.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, they took off. I didn't realize there was such a gap in the marketplace from people who sell B2B, you know, versus B2C. Mm-hmm. So, but it took about 6 months for those to take off. I ended up selling the sales training company and pretty much giving the podcast company to a friend of mine. And I went all in on the networking groups. And what we found was, you know, anybody who sells business to business is frustrated with, you know, traditional networking. Mm. Because if you sell business to business and you walk into a room filled full of realtors and financial advisors and mortgage, all great people, it's just a one-sided conversation. You can help them, but they can't help you back.
Yeah.
And so when we launched these B2B groups, it took off like wildfire. And it's just been a lot of fun to do and build that and wrap our brand really around, you know, the fastest growing B2B networking groups in the world.
Yeah. So your networks were already online before the pandemic when everyone else moved online. That was something you were already doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, my network was, but the networking groups hadn't been launched until after the pandemic
right.
hit. But at that point, both my businesses were 100% online. Because mm-hmm. I had set out from the beginning that I was going to build a company that I could do from the farm. So even like right now while we record this, I'm sitting here in pajama bottoms, which I do every day, because I can sit on Zoom and, you know, wear my t-shirts and ball caps that I do as part of my brand, you know, sit in pajama bottoms, of course, because they're comfortable. And that's the business I wanted, was be able to have my kind of mothership here, if you will. And so I already had those up and running and doing well. And then, so it was really easy to transition to help a lot of other people get into the, you know, the online space.
Yeah. So tell us the name of your networking and why you called it that.
Yeah, so it's really kind of fun. So it's Success Champions Networking, and it's really a fun story because my company is called Success Champions. That's mm-hmm. the whole brand. And what happened was when I launched the business, I knew the word success was going to be in the business name, but I didn't know what word to put with it.
Yeah.
And I happened to be watching the movie Troy with Brad Pitt. If you haven't seen it, it's a phenomenal movie. And in the movie, Brad Pitt plays this character called Achilles. And the movie starts off, and there's just two kingdoms coming together in the middle of this battlefield. Both kings come together, and they literally say, hey, we can wipe you off the face of the earth, or you pick your best, I'll pick my best, and whoever wins between those two, winner takes all. Mm-hmm. Long story short, one king pings out this huge monsters of a guy. The other king, of course, picks Brad Pitt, Achilles. And in one move, Brad comes out and just kills a guy and wipes him out.
Yeah.
And as I'm watching that, all I could think of is, you know, these kings literally picked one person to stand out front. They picked their champion to represent their entire companies. And it hit me so hard. It was so cool. And what I realized is kings used to pick their champions. But when will we become our own champion? Mm. When will we champion our own success? And that's how the name Success Champions was born.
Yeah. And as a small business owner, you've got to be your own champion because no one's going to do it for you.
100%. In one of my books, I actually had that line in there. That's awesome.
So tell us who it's for and how it works.
Yeah, so it's strictly for business to business. So you've got to be selling actually into companies. Like a lot of our clients are selling into companies that are doing between $1 million and $20 million in revenue. Mm-hmm. They're not personally doing $1 million and 20. They're most of our clients, I'd say, are probably doing $250,000 or less a year.
Yeah.
But they're selling into companies that do $1 million to $20 million a year. And so you're going to be dealing with a lot of like MSP IT companies, telecom companies, a lot of your commercial real estate, your PEOs and employee benefits and HR background checks. You're going to do all your fractionals, your fractional CMOs, COOs. What you're not going to see is your realtor, your title, your mortgage, your life coach, your happiness coach or whatever they want to call themselves now. You know, you're going to see people that are really, and that we call them the corporate escapee. So they're people like me that spent, you know, a good chunk of their career working for other people.
Yeah.
They've left corporate America. They've launched a business and likely in the industry they left. So like telecom, IT or the likes, and they're 3 to 5 years in running their business, but they've tried all the other networking, and I'm not bashing on any other organizations, but they've tried the BNIs, they've tried the chambers and those type of things. And what they realize is there's got to be something better because most of those rooms are filled with people that only sell business to consumer.
Yeah.
And so they're not dealing with people that could introduce them to multi-million dollar companies and the likes.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you find that your members are getting from it?
So two big things that I think is really huge. One, obviously revenue, new clients and the like. But the second thing has been kind of a wild thing that we weren't expecting. But when you leave corporate America, you or the corporate world in general, I'll try and quit saying corporate America. But when you leave the corporate life in general, you know, you worked around a bunch of other people. So you had the water cooler talk. You had the cubicle conversations. Yeah. You had the drive-by kind of meetings that just randomly popped up. But when you launch your own company, you don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
So what we found is we became the water cooler. We became the community. So what we do now is we find dynamic individuals that you know, really want to build a community around their business or around their brand. And we help them launch chapters that build their business, build their personal community, and fill it full of people that are targeting their same ideal clientele so everybody can level up together. So that additional community aspect or building their personal community wasn't something we expected. When we thought we were just going to help people, you know, get referrals, revenue, and introductions. But the community aspect was a really nice bonus on top.
Yeah, absolutely. So where are your members? Are they solely in the US or do you have members elsewhere?
So we do have members in several countries. We're primarily in North America. We are proactively looking to expand into the UK. And we're in a couple of conversations with people that would be interested in launching our groups. But being the fact that we're virtual, we do get a lot of people from other countries that are joining some of what we call our national chapters. We should be calling them international at this point.
Yeah.
So, but we have people from Ireland, Spain. Of course, we have two Canadian chapters now. So we continue to expand and take market share.
Yeah. So coming back to what I said at the top of the interview, that you're about networking that doesn't suck. What kind of networking does suck, I'd like to know?
Well, you know, I think we all grew up on this idea that is just, it grates my soul. I think the dumbest philosophy on the planet is the idea of giver's gain, or this idea that you just help a ton of people and the world's going to show up for you. And you know, Zig Ziglar's got the famous quote of help enough people get what you want, what they want, and you'll get what you want. You know, Ivan Meisner's got the quote, giver's gain. Mm-hmm. And they're both wrong. And let me explain. And I have nothing against either one of these guys. They're brilliant people. They've built brilliant businesses. And I love and respect what they've done. Philosophically, it's just flawed, especially if you sell B2B. Most people that have done any sort of networking have told you, I've given and given and given, mm-hmm. and I continue to give, and I'm getting nothing out of it. Mm-hmm. And the reason being is because just giving doesn't work. There's no magical unicorn that's going to pop up out of the atmosphere and go, oh my God, you've given me so much, let me give you something.
Yeah.
So you have to give, but you also have to take. So we have a philosophy we call the 5 G's. And the 5 G's works like this. It's really technical. You want me to write this down, Liz. It's give, 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 get, give, right? And the idea behind it is most people who are out networking don't actually understand that they should be opening doors for others.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I also don't believe in referrals when it comes to networking. So a referral, by definition, is an introduction to somebody else, and there's a sales call attached,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, so you're introducing two people. One's looking for the service. The other one can sell that service, and both parties know that conversation's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? So that's a referral. In my world, I'm all about introductions. When you sell B2C, technically, everybody can be a prospect,
mm-hmm.
right? But when you sell B2B, usually the people you're networking with are not the people you can sell to.
Yeah.
You know, because they're too small of businesses oftentimes. Y'all are going after larger clientele. So in our world, we believe in introductions. And an introduction is you're literally just, you know, putting two people together and hoping they can figure something out from there. So I know for a fact that if I'm talking to somebody, very rarely are they talking to my ideal client.
Yeah.
So I don't use networking to get to clients. I use networking to get connected to people who sell to my ideal clientele but are not competition with me.
Yeah.
So a prime example of this is maybe you're a website company. Well, a website company is a hard business to refer because you don't often run into people who need a brand new website.
Yeah.
But there are people that are constantly having intimate conversations with their clientele about websites and such. So like and what we typically do is we'll put a triangle up on a whiteboard and we'll say, okay, let's put you at the top of the triangle. Let's put your ideal clientele in the middle of the triangle. So maybe your ideal client is a nonprofit, okay? Mm-hmm. So you put them in the middle of the triangle. Now you got to wrap your head around who else sells to nonprofits but is not competition for you. And instantly what comes to mind is like a telecom company or an IT company. And so you put the telecom company and the IT company at the bottom of that triangle.
Yeah.
Then what happens is as you network, you tell people, hey, I do websites, but I'm really looking to meet other, you know, telecom companies. I'm looking to meet your IT MSP companies. And the interesting thing that happens is usually when you look at somebody and say, hey, I'm looking to meet an IT company, I'm looking to meet a telecom company, people have those connections and they readily come up with a name in mind.
Yeah.
And we can make these introductions really easy because there's no skin attached to it. You're not making a referral, you're making an introduction.
Yeah.
And cool, quick story. A gal came to me last year, and she did tuition assistance for families trying to put their kids into college.
Mm-hmm.
And she was very frustrated. She was like, Donnie, nobody is sending me referrals, and I don't know what to do. And I said, do you understand why people aren't referring you? And she goes, no. And I said, it's because you do tuition assistance, and nobody wants to admit they can't afford to send their kid to college.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but somebody is having that intimate level conversation with those people all the time. So if you were to look at your client base, who's or what industry sends you the most referrals? She didn't skip a beat, and she said bookkeepers. I said, oh, that's interesting. Why bookkeepers? She goes, well, at some point during a business conversation about their books, it comes up that they're sending enough money aside to, you know, take care of their kids for college. Mm-hmm. I said, awesome. This is perfect. Here's what I want you to do. And I said, I want you to start introducing yourself saying, I do tuition assistance, and I'd love to meet your bookkeeper.
Yeah.
And 3 weeks before the end of the year last year, she calls me up just ecstatic, saying, Donnie, you tripled my business, because about every third bookkeeper I met readily had somebody who was struggling to figure out how they were going to pay for their kids' college. You know, and so we were trained to use networking to get clients. You have to philosophically change your networking to get introduced to the people who have your clients.
Yeah.
Right. And it dynamically changes everything. And that's kind of the entire philosophy of what we built Success Champions Networking on. And the results, you know, speak for themselves. You could interview any of our members, and what they've gotten out of it's just been amazing. Absolutely,
yeah.
Amazing.
I think that's really fantastic advice, and something that everybody listening to this podcast can take something from that story and make it work for themselves. Now, you also are a podcast host, is that right?
We are. So we run a really fun show. So every Monday, 8 a.m. Central Time, it's alive. And we're live on LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube. And it came about because I've had a couple of successful podcasts over the years. And they were successful. There was a little bit of fun in them, but they weren't accomplishing what I wanted them to accomplish. Mm. And what I always wanted to be able to do was to provide real-world, instant, practical advice. So we came up with a concept, and it's really starting to take off for us. But we take one of our members, and we put them in a hot seat.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have to come to the table with one of the biggest struggles they have in their business.
Yeah.
And then there's four of us, myself, my brother Keith, Dr. Stevie, Don Carter, and Bernie, Mr. Mustache, and we go live with a guest. We always start off with a game of some sort, and it's silly. It can be anything from like a Jeopardy to role-playing stuff, all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just to, you know, make our guests feel more welcome. And then we'll kick it right over to them, let them introduce themselves, and then they'll throw out, you know, what their issues are. And it can be anything from, hey, I've got a local business, I'm trying to go national, how do I do it? When should I hire? To how do I go after larger companies? All kinds of different fun questions. And the takeaways and interactions, and we've got a line of clients, you know, 100 deep lined up to be guests on this show. Because they want the real world advice.
Yeah.
And the people watching it, the DMs we're getting from that of, holy cow, every episode I'm getting takeaways that I can immediately apply. It's been a lot of fun.
And what's the name of the podcast?
So you can find it under Success Champions on YouTube. Or under Donnie Bovine on LinkedIn. So we're not pushing it out to Apple and all that stuff because it's live, but you can go back and watch past episodes on my LinkedIn profile, which is just D-O-N-N-I-E, B as in boy, O-I, V as in Victor, I-N as in NATO, on LinkedIn or Success Champions on YouTube.
And is LinkedIn the best place to find you if people want to connect?
100%. I am stupid active on that platform. I'm crazy enough to put my Calendly link right in my profile. So if anybody would ever want to sit down, have advice, ask questions, feedback, you can get on my calendar. Anybody can get on there, which is a little crazy. It's led to some funny conversations from time to time, but it's fun. I just love meeting people and trying to help as many people. You know, as I started off, you know, we typically hear the sunshine and rainbows of building a business. And, you know, I made a promise to myself that I was going to share, you know, the dark side of building a business, how hard this stuff is, the mental challenges and all the likes. And, you know, that's I'm going to help as many people as I can get to freedom through building a business. And we just happen to do it because we changed how the world networks.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being my guest. I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure our listeners are going to get a lot out of this.
Yeah. Do me one quick favor. So, guys, if you're still hanging out with Liz and I, do her a favor and take a screenshot of wherever you're listening to this. Post it on social media. Tag both of us in there. If I see it, I or my team will jump in, reply, give it some love. But taking that screenshot and sharing it with other people, whether it's this episode or any other episode you've listened to, is literally like giving Liz a virtual hug. Having my own shows, I know how hard it is to build up audience and a podcast. Freaking. So help her out by sharing this out with somebody. It lets her know this is the content you're into, and she'll love every bit of it. So thanks for having me on, Liz.
Thank you very much.